children of all ages, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com proudly brings to you, Oh, You Didn't Know? You see, it's me, it's the G-U-T-T, rolling again with J-C-D.
I'm an ass man. Yeah, I'm an ass man.
Welcome back, JCD. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on? Good.
We got a lot going on in this show. Allie Parker, an independent wrestler from Las Vegas, will be joining us. Lots to talk about in terms of Royal Rumble, WrestleMania. This past Raw was a big one, huge ratings. And also, we have a big announcement in terms of our next guest, or a guest that will be coming up at the end of February. But first, John, I just want to do a little promoting. You started a new Facebook page for this show, in fact, Oh, You Didn't Know Radio. So everyone listening should go on now to Facebook. Facebook.com/ Oh, You Didn't Know Radio, and like the page. And John has done a phenomenal job getting the page started. Lots of things going on there. You can keep up with both me and John on there and keep up with the guests of the radio show. Speaking of which, February 27th, we will have an ECW original on the show by the name of Jason Knight. JCD, what can you tell us about Jason Knight?
Jason Knight, for the old school ECW guys like me, used to be, he was the first manager of the Eliminators, went by the character of Jason the Sexiest Man Alive, managed the Eliminators, and in their early feud against the Pitbulls. Then he was involved with Lance Storm, Just Incredible, and Dawn Marie, and the Impact players. So, you know, Jason's been around for a while, and just like with Jim Molyneux last night, he's got some great stories from the past, you know, stories of that locker room. So it should be a good time on the 27th.
Absolutely, and just reading about him, he also had some brief stints in other wrestling organizations, wrestling companies, so it'll be interesting to hear from him on February 27th. With that said, Allie Parker will be joining us a little bit later. So I think John and I wanted to start the show with talking about the recent news, because this past Raw was a big one, don't you think, JCD?
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, for all the crap with the Raw roulette wheel, let's look at it for what it really was. This was about a three-trick pony show that was layered nicely between Punk's interview to start kicking off the show, Rocky and John Cena, then Rock, then, you know, Chris Jericho and the Heyman-Vince Lesnar angle at the end. You know, it's really, you have to understand where the show is being built around Monday night to really grow the Clay Tenzai segment and the Kali Rider 3MB segment and the Divas match and just take it and throw it out the window. You know, it was a great show, popped a great rating, and, you know, let's see what happens next week when the newly crowned WWE champion is not on Raw.
So next week The Rock will not be there is what you're saying?
Nope.
I thought the Chris Jericho return was probably one of the biggest surprises of the pay-per-view. Not that there were many surprises in the pay-per-view, but I thought Chris Jericho coming in at number two was great. And joining us once again is the Sam Factor. Sam, welcome back to the show.
Hey guys, what's up?
Sam, big Raw this past Monday, as JCD just explained. All about, you know, Punk and Rock, and then obviously Chris Jericho, and of course the return of Brock Lesnar. What'd you think?
No, I mean it's good. I mean, I'm glad they I'm glad we're finally seeing, you know, them bring Lesnar back to the fold. You know, I mean, it's, you know, it's the road to Mania now, so if they got to start now if they want to, you know, make it a believable storyline, you know, for him to get into a match. So, and also the fact that, you know, like you guys just said, The Rock isn't going to be on next week. I mean, they got to, being, you know, if he's going to be WWE champion and he not be on, they got to get people's mind off of that. And so I think that having Lesnar on the show is, you know, as good a way as any to get people to stop thinking about, oh, you know, The Rock's not going to be on, this is lame, he's a champion, how is he not going to be on? But the fact that they're bringing Lesnar back, I think that's, you know, it's a good attempt for them to try to get people to think about something else.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't know when the last time we had a Raw without the WWE champion is, but obviously, JCD, I assume Brock Lesnar is going to be the main point next week, closing the show, like he did this week.
You would think so, but, you know, let's not forget one thing, especially if he keeps the intensity that he kept Monday night, there is no way in hell Punk is not going to let anyone forget the fact that Rock's not on the show. You know?
That's true.
So, I this is, you know, if you heard me Sunday, you heard me last night, this is one of the many reasons why I think this was a mistake. And, you know, Punk's going to be the guy. He's gonna call Rocky out on it. And, you know, it's becoming a little hard to disagree with anything Punk says about Rock. And, you know, when he's not there, you know, I thought the best thing Punk said Monday night was when he named all the towns he was going to be in Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. That's their house show loop this weekend. And you know what? That's, you know, as great as his promo was for being a heel, it was also awesome with the fact that nothing he said was wrong. You can't argue the fact about what Punk said. And I just wonder, you know, especially if Rock's going to be not showing up at some Raws, how much longer Rock can keep this crowd on his side before people start to realize, hey, you know what, Punk's right.
Yeah, I mean, Punk, what I'm most interested in is how the interaction between Punk, Heyman, and Brock Lesnar is going to be. Because Heyman was with Brock, then when Brock went off TV, they brought Heyman back to be with Punk. Now they're both on TV, so is Heyman going to be pulled in a tug of war, or what's going to happen?
That's going to be an interesting little side dynamic for the next maybe 2 months as to where, you know, because there's going to be that time, maybe not this week, but where they're both going to need Heyman to do something for them at the same time, and Heyman's going to have to choose one of them. You know, it may be something simple, but, and Heyman's going to have to make a choice. And, you know, I mean, as I wrote an article about this in the beginning of the month, that I think this is going to be the catalyst for Punk to eventually go back to being a face, kind of what he was right after the promo, not so much as the champion, but kind of just like out for himself, a one-man thing, kind of like a modern-day Austin. And I think especially now with his new 2-year deal impact in place, I think we're looking at Punk Lesnar probably main eventing SummerSlam.
Yeah, I read that you had mentioned that. That'd be really interesting. It would be really interesting because Punk keeps going from, you know, top to top heel. So it'd be interesting to see him going back to face once again. What do you think about that, Sam?
I don't know. I mean, I think Punk's got his hands full with, you know, with the Rock situation, and I don't think that they're going to have Punk and Lesnar kind of communicate with each other. I think they're going to keep them separate, and I think that, you know, Punk's, he's got this, you know, he's, I mean, I think it would be great if he cut, you know, if he cut a promo on the, you know, talking about how the Rock's not there and everything. Because I agree, I think if he's going to be champion, he should definitely be at least at every Raw and just about, if not all, every SmackDown. But I think that, you know, they brought it in when they did because I think they're going to let Lesnar and Heyman kind of hang for the time being and let Punk kind of like, you know, hope that people don't really realize that Heyman's not with Punk and, you know, for the time being. And then, you know, one, and I think it'll be this way for a while, just because, you know, Punk will have plenty to, you know, keep people occupied while he's, you know, while he's cutting a promo on Rock or whatever he's going to be doing.
Joining us right now, area code 714.
Yeah, it's Allie.
Yep,
Allie Parker, are you with us?
Yes, sir. How's it going?
Good, good. Welcome to Oh, You Didn't Know Radio.
Thanks for having me.
It's
how's it going?
Pleasure to have you. You wrestle for Adrenaline Unleashed in Las Vegas, right?
Yes, sir, I do.
Can you tell us a little bit, for those listening to the show, a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I started wrestling or training to wrestle for about 2 years ago in February with Adrenaline Unleashed of Las Vegas. I debuted it's really cool, my debut match was on Fremont Street in fabulous Las Vegas, so that was really cool. We were outside under the lights, and I had my debut match in October of 2012, so I'm still fairly new, but I've had like 8 matches now, so yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
Where did you do your training?
With Adrenaline Unleashed. I've had a lot of different trainers. More popular, I would say Shannon Ballard and Allison Danger are the most well-known. That were my trainers.
Right. JCD?
Yeah, looking at you know, the two types of divas there are now, you got the WWE, which is more about the beauty queen alley, and TNA, which is actually about girls that can go. Have you kind of decided on, you know, if you would have hit either big time when you do, not if, because I've seen your work. You know, you'll get there at some point, definitely, for sure. But, you know, which way, you know, you'd want to be known for it? Would you want to be known for more for the look, or would you want to be more for known that, you know what, nah, she can go in the ring. It's not about the look.
Well, I do think that you need both aspects. I think you need to have a look, I really think that women's wrestling, you kind of have to have something that the guys want to look at. It's a men's sport generally, so you kind of have to have that. And then I really, having Allison Danger as a trainer, you know, I really just want to be good at wrestling. I want to put on good matches and have people recognize that, wow, she has some talent, some creativity in her matches. So I'd like to be both. So I guess that would be more of like a knockout side. But, you know, to be honest, I never, ever really watched TNA, which is not good. But I really want to start because I've always heard that they have more of like a wrestling. The girls actually wrestle and they give more time for the women. So. I just grew up watching WWE, so I'm used to them. So, but yeah,
nice.
I don't like how their matches are just like 2 minutes long. You know, it's terrible. So, yeah, I'd like to fall somewhere in the middle there.
Nice.
So, what did you watch growing up, and what influenced you to become a wrestler?
Well, I watched WWE, I mean, ever since I could remember. My stepdad had us watching that, so we would order, like, a pay-per-view and decorate the whole, like, living room as, like, the ring, and we had wrestling buddies sitting there, like, with our fans and stuff. It was so silly, but that's what me and my brothers did. And then we'd play wrestle. I'd always be Sensational Sherry or Miss Elizabeth, you know. And then eventually came to China, and then my brothers would make fun of me and said I was like a man. So, yeah.
Oops.
But I think Miss Elizabeth is somebody, I always thought that she was so pretty and, like, you know, such a sweet kind of person. I always liked that. And then, you know, I didn't watch a lot as, like, Lita came in. And I remember Sable and Trish Stratus, but I wasn't really – I was growing up into my teens, so I kind of phased out of it a little bit, but I know of them, and I'm just not as, like, you know, I'm not as familiar with all of them because I was, you know, going into boys and liking boys then. So I think my favorite, like, divas, I guess, would be, like, the earlier ones, like Sensational Sherry. Looking back now, she's amazing. Like, she could wrestle,
yeah,
and she's just, like, insane. Like, she has such great character, you know. She's a really cool chick, you know. And then Miss Elizabeth, her poise, and, I mean, she really didn't wrestle, but she was just, like, set a whole other tone for women in wrestling. So she was the first original, I guess, diva, I think, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She was definitely ahead of her time, and I remember I was, Jesus Christ, this is how old I am. I was like 8 when Randy brought her out as his manager, and even as an 8-year-old kid, I was like, holy smokes, who's that? And just the way, you know, watching it then and even watching it now, watching how she developed, and even just that presence, like you said, Ali, never once did she wrestle, but just her presence there, it added so much more to whatever she was doing, whether it was something with Randy or with Hogan or even, you know, a little bit with Dusty Rhodes. It brought so much more to that.
I totally agree.
Ali, I was looking at, you know, some videos, some pictures, some reading some stuff on you, and you did a little bit of refereeing recently, is that correct?
I actually started out, I wasn't ready to wrestle yet, so the promoter at Adrenaline had me start out as a referee so I could get used to the ring and the crowd. And, yeah, I did that for a long time. I still get try and get booked as a ref, and I just want to lose that altogether because I don't want to be a referee. I want to be a wrestler. So, yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about the experience of being a referee?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was the best transition. Like, it was the best stepping stone to get into actual matches because you are not afraid of the crowd. Once, like, the first few matches, I was like, oh, my goodness, people are staring at me. And then, you know, I've always heard that I'm too quiet because I am, like, a more mellow kind of person. So my, like, in the ring skills of, like, counting and stuff were always a problem, which, you know, I'm glad to be out of reffing because I'm not good at being loud. But, yeah, I mean, and then listening to the guys in the ring and things, crazy things happening, and being able to, like, just go with the flow and fix it and take care of people and make sure things are okay, it was really a great experience. But I suggest that to anybody who is training, you know, you should definitely start as a ref and go into wrestling matches like that. And that's the best experience.
Do you think it's equally hard, but just in a different way? Or do you?
No, no, not at all. I think you learn, like, it's just a stepping stone. I think putting together matches is hard, but not hard. It's, you're using a different part of your brain. You're being creative. You're trying to be entertaining. You have a lot to think about. You know, as a ref, you just kind of stay out of the way, make sure people aren't hurt. For me, I had to think about being louder, and, you know, and if I had to take a ref bump or something, I would, you know, that's my only thing to do. But, yeah, definitely not as hard as wrestling.
Right. JCD, you got any questions?
Yeah, Adrenaline, that's based only out of Las Vegas, right?
Yeah, we have done, we do a lot of really cool events, actually. We did something in Reno just recently. It was like a lucha show, and they do a lot of, like, women's and lucha up there. So we did that, and that was really cool. But we also do, like, Vegas is known for its events, so we do a lot of strange, crazy events. We've done, like, a gothic event one time where we did, like, this is just crazy things. Like, when we did Fremont Street, it's called an event called Streets, and they have, like, all these food trucks and stuff. So a lot of people, you know, downtown Fremont Street, if you've ever been there, is packed all the time. So we had people breaking down the fence, cheering and going crazy. It's just nuts.
Did you do it down on Fremont? Where the dome type thing, where the lights, or you guys were past that part of old Vegas?
We were right off of it. Like, you could see the El Cortez right there in the video. If you watch on my YouTube, you could see the El Cortez. So we were not under it because I think that wouldn't be. I forgot what the reasoning behind that is, but we were just right off of it. But we're also doing, we've done this, I think, 5 years in a row now. We're doing what's called Extreme Thing, and this is a really cool event, too. It's all, like, dirt bike and, like, skateboarding and crazy rock bands, and we get some very interesting people at this event, but they love our stuff. They just love, like, we always do extreme wrestling. Then we do, like, cage matches, ladder matches. Everything is, like, a crazy gimmick match, so... If I'm booked for that, I don't know because it's in April. If I'm booked on that, then I will have to be in some sort of interesting match like that, and I'm not sure what I would be doing.
Definitely let us know because we'll definitely promote it as it gets closer. You know, we'll promote it both on, you know, on Facebook and Twitter. Anything you got coming on, let us know. We'll put it out there. You know, even just not just for the fans of the U.S. on the West Coast, but we open you up to a whole new. You know, fan base here on the East Coast, you know, and, you know, get you known, get your stuff out there. And, you know, any plans or anything to work in the East Coast shows eventually or?
Oh, I hope so. I've never, ever been to New York and I'm like dying because I have like a secret love for vintage fashion. So I heard that vintage shopping. But I want to go to New York so bad. So, yeah, you know, a lot of radio shows that I'm on, they say, are you going to come out here? If someone talks to a promoter out there or anything, yeah, definitely. Or just pass me, if someone can message me, like, some of the promoters, you know, contact information, I'll send them my information. I'd love to work anywhere. My whole reason in getting into wrestling is to have fun and travel. So I'd love to see new places.
Where nice. Did you grow up?
I grew up in Orange County, California.
Okay. Did you
nice. Yeah, maybe.
Look into different wrestling schools, or how did you find Adrenaline Unleashed?
I was dating a guy who was interested in trying to be a wrestler, and he asked me, like, I was just trying to be a supportive girlfriend, and I went to, like, two of his training classes, his first two ones, and the promoter asked me if I would, if I wanted to start up, and I'm really into fitness now, too. I just love fitness and working out, and I noticed it just seems like a great workout, so I was like, yeah, I'll try it, you know. He gave me a couple months free to check it out, and it was very tough, you know, learning to, like, bump and things like that, but I learned to love it. It's a whole nother, like, realm of craziness. Like, you get to be a whole other person. You get to just, I don't know, it's great workout. So yeah, everything I've wanted is in wrestling. It makes me happy. I like to do it.
At the end of the day, that's what matters,
right?
Yeah, no, there's definitely a bunch of promotions out here, you know. You know, definitely get your stuff out, you know, get your stuff out to you. You know, we'd love to have you here on the East Coast, you know, have you work some shows out in New York, the city, Brooklyn. You know, Brooklyn's got a great little independent company, FWE, that me and Seth are actually going to 2 weeks. And, you know, that would be someone that, you know, maybe you can get your stuff to. They, you know, who knows, maybe they bring you in for a show.
There's so many independent promotions all over the world, you know. I feel like... you know, you probably, like you said, you want to do a lot of traveling, and I'm sure you will try to, you know, get involved with a lot of different promotions.
Definitely. I just need kind of like a lead on who, like, if someone's interested in seeing me wrestle, if it seems like your best promotion, I'll pitch my stuff to them, and I can get that. I don't know. I know over here there's not very much, like, women's going on right now. There's not too many women wrestling, so it's a little stale. You know, we need to, like, start moving to the Midwest and you know, all over, everywhere. Got to get everywhere. That's my plan.
Not a bad plan at all.
So have you guys ever come to Vegas? Do you ever come? You guys should come check out a show in Vegas.
That would be
wonderful. I've been out there a bunch of times. Last time I was out there, yeah, it was 2009. Yeah, I've been out there a bunch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been on the West Coast, but I don't think I've ever seen any wrestling while there. That would be a great experience.
definitely have to check it out. We're known for our drinking and partying, so you definitely have that while you're watching some wrestling. So.
It sounds like you'll fit into New York pretty well.
New York wouldn't be a hard adjustment.
They just started having WOW Women of Wrestling here in just last month. So, yeah, there's a little bit – the wrestling scene's growing in Vegas, and it's nice, especially the women. So, right here – well, you know, the WOW Women's now is here. So, yeah, it's good. You know, it's got some interesting stuff going on in Vegas.
Other than nice. Traveling, what other goals do you have in your career?
I would my goals I try and keep small just so I don't get disappointed. I really think that Shimmer Wrestling is, like, you know, known for their chicks that wrestle, you know, and I kind of want to be a part of that. I want to be noticed as someone that can wrestle and, you know, try and have a good look at the same time, like I mentioned earlier. So if I could be a part of Shimmer someday, I think that would be a nice accomplishment. Because I think that the women in Shimmer are very respected, and my trainer Allison Danger, you know, I think she's one of the bookers there. She's just all about Shimmer. She is Shimmer. So, that's kind of a personal goal for me. And then everything else, you know, I just want to travel. Yeah, travel, and I try not to get, like, in the clouds and thinking about WWE or TNA or anything like that, because I don't want to get, you know, too out of range. I just want to stick with what I know and do my best, you know.
Well, take it one step at a time, and that
exactly.
could be a goal, you know, in the future, but taking it one step at a time.
Yeah, you got to crawl before you walk, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Any other questions, JCD?
I think we covered everything. I want to thank you for coming on, and I just sent you something on Facebook to check out. And, you know, yeah, Ali, just keep us in the loop of what's going on. We'd love to have you on again, and, you know, we'll promote, you know, what you got going on. You and I had spoke maybe about even, you know, trading off some people and for a future guest on the show. We'd love to have you back on anytime you want to come back on.
Awesome! Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you.
Is there anything that you want to say to your fans or
yeah, anything you got to plug
the show?
Anything well,
to contact you.
You can check me out on Twitter. It's the Ali Parker, which is TheAllie Parker, Parker. And then I have YouTube, which is Ali Parker Wrestling. And, yeah, you can check those out. And then, you know, I have Facebook, Instagram, I have everything. So, you know, once you search it, you should probably be able to find. If you have one thing found, you can find them all because I link them all up. So, yeah, check out some stuff. And then shoot me a little message that you listen to the show. That'd be fun.
Absolutely. Thank you again,
Definitely.
Alex Parker, for joining us. And let's stay in touch. And we wish you the very best luck in your wrestling career, and hope to either see you on the East Coast, or GCD and I might just have to do a little traveling ourselves over to the West Coast.
You better.
All right.
Definitely.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
No problem. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, that was Ali Parker from Unleashed. And we will now get back to our regularly scheduled programming of talking about WWE and everything going on there. Back to talking about Raw.
Did we lose Sam during that, or did he stay on?
No, Sam left, and now Sam is back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought Sam was on just being quiet the whole time.
No. No, he took a little bathroom break.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, when the Divas come on, that's generally what happens, but
Stop that. Hopefully she's still listening.
It's
that.
It's too easy.
But anyway, let's get back to talking about Raw. You know, what do you think about Tensai? You know, we saw a different, we're seeing a change in his character a little bit. I even think that, would you consider him a face at this point, JCD?
Well, considering what happened on main event tonight, yeah.
Can you explain a little bit?
Yeah, basically he got involved with Primo and Epico. Not Primo and Epico. Primetime Players, and Clay came out to make the save, and I think Clay and him are going to start teaming up now.
Yeah, I've been reading that. I think it's really interesting. It's sort of like a modern-day natural disasters. I always think of them when you put two big men together in a tag team.
Yeah, it's just a shame what happened with him, what he should have been versus what he's become. But you know what? If this keeps his job here, then, you know, you do what you got to do. But he suffers from what I like to call the Taz syndrome. And what that is, real quick, is he debuted the night after WrestleMania. He had all the vignettes running, and he was going to steamroll everybody. And eventually, main event SummerSlam versus Punk. I know those were the rumors. And then all of a sudden, an hour later, Brock Lesnar returns, and it's all about Lesnar, and he's the forgotten man. Just like when Taz debuted in 2000, Taz was supposed to be the next big thing. And then, oh, lo and behold, the Radicals get their release from WCW. They show up on Raw, and Taz is the forgotten man.
Interesting. So you think that's what happened here again?
Yeah, I've compared the two.
Well, it's interesting because Tensai had recent interactions with Santino, like the Slammy Awards, which I thought was pretty funny. And now doing sort of the comedy act again with Brodus Clay. So, you know, he's becoming one of the main fillers, basically, along with Brodus Clay. So it's interesting. But you know what? I do think that they need some more tag teams. You might think that the tag team division is a lot deeper now with Rhodes Scholars and Rhodes Scholars and Team Hell No, but at the same time, Tyson Kidd's injured, so that tag team is no longer there, and Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara are not really on TV anymore, so there really aren't that many tag teams anymore. Primetime Players and the Usos, we're seeing more the Primetime Players as we have been, but it seems like the Usos are finally getting a little bit of a push. They could obviously use a little bit more, but we are seeing them a little more often than we had been. So I think it's great to see another tag team. I know Zack Ryder was teaming with Brodus Clay at house shows, I believe.
Yeah, supposedly they were getting some really good reviews together. I'm surprised they never brought that to TV.
Yeah, I could see them being a good pair as well.
Yeah.
But it's good that they're also giving Brodus Clay the airtime because, you know, I do think that he's a talented guy, and I think that you know, he's even though he's not doing the monster heel, he can definitely do a lot in WWE.
What's good about this pairing is you can do one of two things with it. If they really get over, they'll definitely get a run with the belts. Whoever beats Brian and Kane, they'll definitely drop the belts to those guys if they get over enough. If they don't get over, then you know what? You could turn those guys heel and make them, like you said, a natural disaster style type tag team that could be the guys to defeat, you know, maybe Team Hell No for the belts. They can do a couple of things with those guys that can. This could work, and it can work in more than one way. So, you know, we'll see where it goes with it.
Absolutely, Sam. What do you think about this pairing of Brodus Clay and Tensai?
I think it's a good idea. Honestly, like neither of them had anything going for them to begin with. You know, so like it's a like you said, it's a shame what happened with Tensai, you know, I mean, he just, like, flopped, and then there was that thing with Ryback where he wouldn't, you know, let him lift him up, and that just made his stock even lower, and then, you know, I mean, why not at this point for both of them? I mean, like, Brodus Clay, nothing really happening with him. You know, I mean, you know, the gimmicks run its course, you know, the Funkasaurus thing. Apparently Vince loves it, but I mean, it was fine to be, you know, at first, but, you know, at this point it's like whatever. And then the whole Tensai thing, I mean, honestly, like, you know, at first he, like, wasn't speaking English, and all he was speaking was, like, Japanese, and now all of a sudden he's speaking English again. Honestly, like, I think they should just, like, have him, like, you know, change to, they should just have him, come out as a A-Train one day, and I think he would probably get a pop because people are chanting A-Train since he debuted as Tensai. So I think if they had him come out, he'd probably get more of a decent reaction, and then honestly, I think you can put him together and call him Clay and A, and there you go, and then you got yourself a bona fide tag team.
Yeah, maybe. I did enjoy his dancing, honestly, on Raw. I don't know about you guys, but I thought it was pretty entertaining.
Oh, God, that whole segment was brutal.
Yeah. Well, you know what was brutal was Khali. Khali was ridiculous.
Honestly, like,
Khali. I was like, Khali read? He can read the screen, but he really wasn't reading at all. He was not.
He probably can't read.
No, he can't do anything. He can't read, he can't speak, can't move, you can't wrestle. I don't know what they're doing with him. What else do you want to cover tonight, JCD? John, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
What else do you want to cover tonight?
Well, we more or less covered Raw. I guess we could jump into the Rumble.
All right.
Or do you want to go with the news real quick that should make everyone happy and scared at the same time?
We could do that. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, let's do that.
Generico's deal is official.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read that today.
He's passed all the tests, which is great. And probably within the next week or so, we should know what they're going to do with him character-wise, and that's the scary part.
Yeah. Yeah, you posted this on our Oh You Didn't Know Radio Facebook page, which everyone should go like, facebook.com/OhYouDidn'tKnowRadio. That's what I was going to ask you. It's a question as to what they're going to do with him. Are they going to keep him as El Generico or give him a completely new gimmick?
I don't know. It depends how deep Hunter is in control of talent now. I think Hunter understands that these guys made a name as whatever elsewhere, which is why you're not seeing guys deviate kind of too much from what they've done with the recent crop of signings. I mean, I know everyone's kind of pissed on Pac's name and, you know, even take it as far back as Chris Hero turning into Cassius Ohno, but Chris Hero was still known as the Knockout Kid. So they've kind of, even though they've changed the name, they kind of kept his character before Kings of Wrestling. I mean, Pac is still doing his stuff, even as Adrian Neville. So I could live almost with a name change, but keep everything else. If they take the mask off or, you know, change the character completely, then it's like, all right, man, I guess you got to do what you got to do for a buck. But, you know, well, let's see. I don't know. It really all depends on Hunter.
What do you think, Sam? Should they keep the character?
He does speak English, correct?
Yeah, I think he's from Canada.
Yes. Yeah, he's from Montreal.
Did I say, honestly, I say, like, I don't know. I think I guess I don't want to write it off completely, but, I mean, Sin Cara is kind of like, that whole gimmick is kind of, I don't know, I feel like it's flopped. I mean, like, I know they were trying to bring him, you know, they were trying to, like, mold him into the next Rey Mysterio, but I just don't think it's happening, especially because he doesn't speak English. But I think, you know, I mean, it's going to be obvious that he's not an actual Lucha Libre guy, but I think, you know, if you keep the mask on him and you know, have him, like, cut, you know, if he can cut a decent promo, I say keep it on him, you know. I mean, they brought him in, you know, they brought him in knowing what he's, you know, because of what he's done. And, I mean, do I think they're going to keep the same name? No, because I think they're going to change his name so that they can own the intellectual property like they usually do, which, you know, sometimes good and sometimes bad. But I think that, you know, I hope they keep the same gimmick. That, I mean, I hope that. I mean, if they don't keep the name, hopefully they can come up with another clever name. But I do hope to keep the gimmick.
Yeah,
Ole can get over. He can get those Ole chants over if they let him do it.
If they're already established, you know, why ruin that? I mean, CM Punk is still CM Punk. You know,
yeah,
I'm not,
Punk's
I'm not,
the exception to the rule.
Yeah, I'm not going to mention.
It's very weird. I don't know how they do that. I don't know how they pick like Punk. You know, CM Punk, that was his indie name. Like, you know, I mean, like John Cena, that's his real name. You know, but like you got a guy like Joe Hennig who could obviously, you know, like, would probably be more well-known because of his father if they actually let him use his real name, but instead they call him Michael McGillicuddy. Like, I don't get why they do it with some and don't do it with others. Like, they let Randy Orton come in as Randy Orton, you know? And, you know, they reverse Brian Danielson's name into Daniel Bryan, you know?
Regal's idea.
No, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it's like, I don't know how, you know, why they let some come in with their names that, you know, are established or are their real names, and some they, you know, they bring in with the, you know, with the names that they made up. You know, I don't know what the system is with that, but
yeah. Well, I have a feeling that if Joe Hennig ever, you know, develops a personality and gets over, they'll change his name. But unless if he's just going to be this jobber kind of guy, I don't think they'll change it.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, supposedly he's got some fans in the back. Rock's a fan of him. I know he trained with Rock. Rock tweeted some stuff with him. I know Rock's a fan. I know Triple H supposedly is a fan. So maybe, you know, he jobs out here, jobs out there. Maybe, you know, in a couple of months we're looking at a, you know, maybe they rebrand him and who knows, repackage him.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just have to see what happens from here. But El Generico signing with WWE, I think the push of indie wrestlers is a great idea. You know, it used to be that we were getting guys from WCW over to WWE and that whole thing. And this is sort of a modern-day version of that. They're not taking guys from TNA necessarily, but they are looking at guys who are developing in the indies and getting better and bringing them over. So I think it's a great, great move.
Yeah, and supposedly, I think it's either this week or at some point in February, they're having a big indie tryout in Florida. And, I mean, there's been a lot of names thrown around. No one's obviously said they're definitely going for sure or confirmed it. But, I mean, even, like, you hear names like the Briscoes, Adam Cole, Sammy Callahan, Ricky Reyes. You know, I mean, even if half those names are true and, you know, they can get even one or two of those guys, those are just going to be awesome additions to that roster. And, you know, NXT may be the best pure talent roster out of all three companies when it's all said and done, which is saying a lot for the future.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? I was chatting with GSN Matthews on Twitter today, and he posted that WWE is actually putting up videos from NXT on their site now. They're really...
Where? I looked for that. Where are they posting that?
On YouTube.
Oh, okay. It's on YouTube. All right.
On the WWE Fan Nation or whatever it is.
Okay, I went to WWE.com. That's why I couldn't find it.
But even WWE.com, if you go to NXT, it's different now. They're acknowledging and integrating NXT a little bit more now, which is a great thing. And I hope that eventually this leads to NXT back on WWE.com full episodes or even TV.
you know?
Yeah, that show that they've been taping in Full Sail, supposedly I've seen clips. I haven't seen full shows because I haven't been able to find it. But everything I read, supposedly that is some of the best television going right now. Like, I've never read anything that said this was a bad episode of NXT.
You know what they should consider is, you know, there's no more brand extension. Even Stephanie McMahon acknowledged that it's just one brand now, Raw and SmackDown. SmackDown is pointless. It's useless. It's the same. It's a worse version of Raw. It's, you know, the lower card guys.
No.
No what?
Okay. All right. Take the fact that you don't get that you weren't getting Punk on there and John Cena. You look at the last year of SmackDown, pure in-ring action-wise, SmackDown has blown Raw away.
Okay,
so you need that show. You need that show where certain guys will work that show.
What
and
about 1 hour of each?
You want to do an hour Raw, an hour SmackDown?
No. I'm saying Raw Super Show, or just Raw, and NXT taking over at least 1 hour of SmackDown. Unless they want to do something.
No, give me NXT as superstars.
I think probably the best case scenario or the most realistic thing is having NXT back on WWE.com like it was.
Yeah.
Like superstar with superstars.
Yeah.
That's probably the most realistic because the TV schedule doesn't. There's not a lot of room for it.
No, yeah, get rid of superstars, especially since you have Saturday Morning Slam and main event,
right.
and slot NXT into there. There is nothing you're doing on superstars that can't be floated into.
They don't have
either
to
one
get
of those
superstars.
Shows.
It's on WWE.com. Anyone can listen to it if they really want to, but also put NXT.
Right.
And they can track that, you know. I mean, they can track how many hits they get on their website, and if they see that it's getting incredible amount of hits, then they can always, you know, like, they can always, you know, move it to TV. If people are taking the time to search for it and watch it on the web, then, you know, I mean, I can definitely see them, you know, putting it on TV, you know.
Yeah, that's a great point. And this may be the first step. This may be, let's see how many hits we get of it on YouTube. If it does really well on YouTube, you know what? We'll move it to WWE.com. It does really well on WWE.com. Let's try to find a TV for it.
Absolutely. And it's going to do really well. Sam, have you watched any of it?
What's that?
Have you watched any of the NXT stuff?
No, I watched, like, some of the guys, you know, some of, like, when they, like, cut promos or, like, some, when they have, like, interviews and stuff, but not too much of the actual, matches.
It's also great to watch and see guys develop. You know, following guys in NXT as they go up and go through that and then get to the main roster. I think, you know, it's more like a sport where, you know, you watch guys in college basketball and then you see them transition to the NBA. And I just think it's a great way to be able to follow some of your favorites and just follow the development of guys and the
and even the guys that you know from, let's say, like Ring of Honor, like a Chris Hero, you know, like, or like a Pac, who you may know internationally. You can watch them develop, you know, change their style over and alter their style and how they're adapting.
Absolutely.
It's a show more for, you know, more for the true wrestling fan. It's a show more for, you know, for the smart wrestling fan, you know. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And if, you know, and if there are enough of them out there to watch it, then I would say I think that they should, you know, do something with it, at least start on the web.
And the sad part is they probably have one of the best characters in all of wrestling right now that no one is seeing, and that's Bray Wyatt, Husky Harris.
Yes. Yes.
Wait till he hits the main roster. He's gonna
I'm surprised his brother made it before he did.
He got hurt.
Yeah, me too.
He got hurt. He had an issue with his shoulder, and he was out for a while. So that's why you saw him. Excuse me, like Luke Harper, Brody Lee doing more of the wrestling while he was doing more of the promo work.
Yeah.
He got hurt. I think he's just starting to get back actually into the ring, so that might be why he kind of fell behind the eight ball.
They might have also been looking for a face. I don't know, is Bray Wyatt a heel?
Yeah, yes.
So that could have played a part as well. They might not have had something for a heel to do.
You've never seen anything with Bray Wyatt?
I have.
Wait,
no, I've only seen
Sam, you have,
Harris.
Right?
Not only as Husky Harris, not as a Bray Wyatt character.
All right, you have to YouTube Bray Wyatt. I'm telling you, he
the
is going to be money.
Crazy.
The promos are phenomenal, and he's slimmed down. He's not as big.
Oh.
He's gotten better in the ring. I'm telling you, check him out. From the promos alone, he's going to be money.
I will.
All right, we.
I want to see Dean Ambrose cut a live promo in the ring. That's what I'm waiting for.
Who?
Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Well, wait till that happens.
I can't wait for that. He's like the next. He's the next top heel. Like no question.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the one great thing about the Shield. Is that, I mean, Rollins is obviously probably the best pure worker of the bunch.
Agreed.
Ambrose is just going to be money on the mic. And Reigns has quietly been the nice surprise of the group. I mean, Reigns is another guy that, with his look and his size, he's going to be something. None of them are going to suffer when this group breaks up. And usually there's somebody that falls off. None of them are going to. They're all three of them are going to be stars.
Yeah, I look at Reigns kind of like a modern day Batista almost, you know, kind of like the quiet one in the back, but he's like the big one. And I think more like Diesel or
Kevin Nash.
Oh no, yeah, absolutely. You know, he's like the quiet big one in the background, but soon he's gonna, you know, shuffle to the front.
Yeah.
All right, we don't have a ton of time left, about 5.5 minutes or so. Do you want to talk Rumble, our general thoughts on the Royal Rumble pay-per-view?
I guess we'll hit the Rumble real quick. Predictable, and because of that, disappointing. That's how I saw it.
I completely agree. I think it was honestly one of the worst Royal Rumble pay-per-views. Completely predictable. I thought the tag titles were going to change hands. They didn't. The only thing that I think I got wrong in terms of my predictions. The Chris Jericho surprise I thought was great. That was one thing that I did like. Goldust,
yeah.
and him coming out and doing the whole thing with Cody Rhodes was also great. But a lot of superstars were mentioned to be in the Rumble that weren't, which again proves to us that we need to stop believing all the dirt sheets because recently they've just been wrong. And I obviously Sam's going to disagree, but I didn't want Cena to win the Rumble. even if they wanted to do Cena Rock 2, they didn't have to have Cena win the Rumble in order to get there.
Exactly.
But very, very disappointing. Sam, what did you think of the Rumble?
I hear you. No, I mean, all those points are very valid. I feel that Jericho didn't come out to that huge, incredible reaction at number two. Honestly, I think it would have been a lot worse in the long run. I think, you know, them getting Jericho to come back and the performance that he put on, I thought that really, not necessarily saved the show, but definitely. What's that?
I think just being able to keep it quiet.
Exactly. That was phenomenal. Like, no one saw that, you know? And it's like
and no one mentioned Goldust either.
Right. In today's day and age, for them to keep that quiet is just amazing. And, you know, I thought the main event, I'm glad they put it on after the Rumble because I think it deserved to be on after the Rumble. it was a great match. You know, I thought they both you know put on a good show and did what people expected them to do from a in-ring standpoint. I also thought that the Kofi Kingston spot was it did not do what they hoped it would do. They thought about it way too hard, and I just think last year him walking on his hands, I don't know, that one was tough to beat, and this year it was it was too contrived and you know just it took way too long, you know, I think that I was looking forward to seeing what Kofi did here.
I think Sam would hurt it was the fact that he got eliminated a minute later.
That too, that as well. I agree.
I think that's what hurt it.
I liked the spot. I thought it was great. I thought it was different. It was obviously still creative, but not what he did last year. I enjoyed it.
I think if he would have lasted a few minutes longer, even 5-10 minutes longer, it would have held more value. But basically the fact that he took all that time to do that, got back in, and a minute later was gone,
not even
just
a minute
all
later.
The steam out of it. Yeah, whatever it was,
I agree.
All the steam out of it.
100%. I agree, absolutely. That's right. You know, I was like, all that, and all of a sudden he's out. Are you serious? Come on.
Yeah, and I mean, real quick, getting back to Rock Punk, they could have done the original ending to justify the rematch at Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
And then if you were going to go to Rock Cena anyway, have Rock beat Punk at the Chamber. You know, all this talk of, no, you needed to pop a rating Monday night, you would have popped the rating if Rock had lost. This whole idea that Rock needed to win for a rating, Rock needs to go and do media with that belt. Rock's going to do media anyway, with or without that belt. He did media last year. WrestleMania did over 1 million buys. WrestleMania's going to do over 1 million buys this year. It just, you don't need that belt on him for 2 months. And the fact that he's not going to be at Raw Monday, and he's not lined up for every Raw between now and WrestleMania, is just a bad, bad deal with him holding this belt right now, and especially for this long.
I agree. I was hoping Punk would keep the belt, honestly. But like you said, it could have happened at the Chamber. It would have made a lot more sense to do it the way that you explained it. Makes the rematch a little more smoother for the reason. Because
there's no way Punk's winning at the Chamber. There is no way.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think JCD, you and Jay were talking on Twitter about what to expect in terms of Chamber matches. Are we going to see a World Heavyweight Championship Chamber match, and then is Ryback?
See, I don't think so. I think it's going to be. I think Del Rio Show are going one on one after what happened Monday night. That's not to set them up in a Chamber. They're going to have a blow. They got to have a blow off after Monday night.
I really don't want to see that. So, what do you think the Chamber match? There'll be a Chamber match for number one contender to face the champion at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's where I think they'll go with that, and then.
I don't know.
I
don't know if you guys read the spoilers.
Yeah, I did. I'm just trying not to.
Yeah.
Which
I didn't do
it too
much. If we don't want to say it, I won't say it. But.
No, Sam. Don't do anything with spoilers. But
I haven't read them yet.
What I. No. Don't. But I mean, I said this yesterday. I think they were going to do a number one contender chamber, as well as a 3-on-3 elimination chamber with the Shield against Ryback, Cena, and Sheamus.
Yeah.
So there will be your two chamber matches. You'll get Rock.
That would be
Punk.
Cool. I would like that 3-on-3 match. Something different, you know?
Yeah,
just,
and you'll get Rock.
Just tell me one thing. How many chamber matches are we going to actually see?
You know what? They haven't said.
I don't know that.
Yeah, they haven't said. But I think, like I said yesterday, I think you're going to get the two. I think you are going to get Rock Punk. You're going to get Del Rio Big Show, I think. You'll probably get Barrett Dallas, maybe Cesaro Miz again, and then probably Caitlin Tamina. That's probably your card.
What about tag titles?
Them and Rhodes Styles again?
I mean, not that I want to see it again, but... is that going to happen? Is it going to be the same exact card of the as the Rumble, but instead of the Royal Rumble match, we have the Divas match?
Maybe. It's possible.
That would be pretty sad.
Or maybe you'll finally get, like, some sort of tag team turmoil match, like we've been hearing for the last, like, three pay-per-views we were going to get. Maybe if they can get Rey and Kara healthy and running, you can finally get that match with Hell No, Rey and Kara, the primetime players, Rhodes Scholars, the Usos, maybe Clay and Tenzai, like five or six teams.
That'd
you know,
because cool.
Something happened Monday night real quick. I think they're starting dissension between Brian and Kane. I think they're running out of time, and I think now they're gonna face each other at WrestleMania.
100%, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what it seems like, and honestly, it is time. I think Brian needs to go on a major singles push, and you know it's time to show off the tag team division. If the tag team division is deeper than it used to be, then they really need to show that with all the different tag teams.
You can get Brian to a point once you get him out of Hell No that by the time SummerSlam rolls around, you can roll Punk Lesnar. How about Brian Ziggler for the World Heavyweight title?
I think that's definitely a future World Heavyweight Championship match. Definitely.
That'd be two big matches for SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And then whatever you're going to do with Fruity Pebble Boy.
Yeah. What are you going to do with him? I don't know.
This is the thing. Who, and this is another topic for another night. What do you do with him April 8th?
Well, who's going to...
Yeah, I don't know.
Who's going to be
Rock's
the next...
gone.
Who's going to be the next challenger for the WWE title after him?
I mean, are we going to get a Punk Cena feud that basically is going to lead to that's how Punk turns face? And
I don't think so. I like the Punk Brock Lesnar situation.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know. I hope they start pushing Dean Ambrose at that point.
Maybe
someone from the Shield. Yeah, maybe Cena Ryback for a few pay per views. Maybe
that would
like
be interesting.
Rules and Over the Limit. Yeah,
maybe. Yeah. Ryback is actually a very good choice there because they're definitely pushing him.
Yeah, Cena's got some big question marks post WrestleMania, which is a bad sign for your WWE champion.
Right. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's wrap up here. We did go over time, so you know everyone who's listening has probably downloaded the show on iTunes. So let's do our plugs and call it a night. John,
okay.
Time for you to finally start promoting your Twitter, so go ahead.
Yes, JCD1219NY at Twitter,
yeah.
So I have 53 followers. I need more. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Follow John at JCD1219NY. Sam, what's your Twitter? Tell everyone.
It's scary. It's scary when you know my Twitter better than I do.
Wait, let me see if I can do Sam's. You got S Schneids, S-S-E-H-E-I-D-S 23.
Well done, my man. S Schneids 23.
Follow them. Follow me at Sethgut, S-E-T-H-G-U-T-T. We are at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Also, check out my site, GutWrenchPowerBlog.com, GUTTWrenchPowerBlog.com. You can find Pro Wrestling Powerhouse on Facebook, Facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse. You can find GutWrench PowerBlog on Facebook, Facebook.com/GutWrenchPowerBlog. And you can find this show on Facebook now, Facebook.com/OhYouDidn'tKnowRadio. Anything else?
And one last one. One last one. She was great with us tonight. At @THEEALLIEPARKER. Allie Parker on Twitter. She was a great guest for us tonight. So, you know what? Let's plug her one more time.
Absolutely. Check her out. Again, February 27th, we will have ECW original Jason Knight. February 20th, we will have Jeff Gorman, who is a sportscaster and trying to be the first announcer to take the gut check challenge in TNA. And we might even have another guest from FWE Wrestling next week. I need to confirm that first before it's official, but it's very possible we have their tag team champions next week.
And FWE on the 16th.
Check out FWE Wrestling February 16th in Brooklyn, New York. All right, anything else, guys?
We will be there in force.
We will be there. All right, JCD, Sam Schneider. That's it for Oh, You Didn't Know Radio. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you.
Follow me on Twitter.
Good fun. Have a good night, everyone.
Later, guys.